Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, hour number two, live right here on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. Full NBA Finals recap in hour number one. The Milwaukee Bucks, your NBA champions, winning it in 6 games. Giannis, the unanimous MVP with 50 points in a closeout game. But still, the sports world does not stop for anything here. And there was a great slate of Major League Baseball action yesterday. And I got to start with the final game on the board. The Giants and the Dodgers. Goodness me, are these teams putting on a show here. An 8-6 final for the Los Angeles Dodgers with a walk-off 3-run homer by Will Smith in the bottom of the 9th inning. The Giants, Nani, almost looking like they were going to take the first 2 games of this series in Dodger Stadium, but Will Smith and the Dodgers had other plans as they come on back from a 6-1 deficit to win that baseball game.
The team launch angle, that's what they do. They are talented, Kevin. I'll keep saying it. 1-8, probably the most talented lineup in Major League Baseball. Even when they don't have their best players in the lineup, a la Mookie Betts, they continually have guys step up in the biggest moments. And that was one last night, a 3-run blast in the bottom of the 9th inning to give them an 8-6 victory and a massive win as well. Because if you were to tell me, hey, look, you know, we're looking to even the series or just get out of town as the San Francisco Giants, you know, if they even added games to their lead in the NOS, that would be phenomenal. But that is a punch in the gut. They're going to have a quick turnaround here to see if they can sort of come back from that. But that is an interesting game last night. Kudos to the Dodgers for hanging around, because you're right. After a while, I start to question myself. Why am I saying I like the Dodgers so much in the NOS when it seems like the Giants, who are now beating them consistently, maybe they are the best team? Big win for the Dodgers last night, a much-needed win, and this is going to be a great, great series all the way through, and we'll follow them through August, through September. Don't be surprised if these two come down in the last week of the season, along with the Padres, still with the NOS up for grabs.
Rarely, if ever, right, if you're a San Francisco Giants team, would I say, hey, look, you're 1-1 through the first 2 games of a series at Dodger Stadium. Would you be upset with that? But up 6-1 in this game at the end of the top of the 5th inning, that should be a victory. And going into the bottom of the 9th, I know it's only 1 run, but to bring Rodgers in, who's been very good for this team all year long, man, I remember the first time Rodgers popped up on our screen there at In-Play Sports Night. This guy's throwing nonsense. At that moment, I think Donnie started buying rookie cards. Like, he's like, this is the greatest pitcher in baseball.
NFTs. I have every one of his NFTs already.
That's right. The jersey's hanging in the back. They're going to replace Lee anytime soon. But for him to come in, walk, 3-run shot, Aroldis Chapman style,
That is a demoralizing defeat there for the San Francisco Giants. And you don't want to give the Dodgers any reason to even have more self-belief in themselves. Like, they're good enough as it is. One thing that has stood out to me, Donnie, the odds for the NL West just completely stagnant for the first two games here. Still a minus 250 price on the Dodgers. Still plus 330 on the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, no, and it's still in the same mindset because, I'm a gambler. There's fans out there. We're still waiting for the Dodgers to turn it on. And you're right, psychologically. Take a look at these first two games. You had a beatdown in the first game, Kevin. 7-2. The Giants won that easily. The Giants were headed to cruising to another easy victory, and maybe you start turning on the gas because you want to wait till after the series is over to see if they reprice it. But keep in mind, still 70-plus games left in the Major League Baseball season, but if the Giants would have gotten out to a 2-0 series lead, that would have been monstrous here.
We want to welcome the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to everybody that is listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM. Channel 204, the Mightier 1090, all of our radio affiliates there on a Wednesday morning. No 7-7 right now. Going through the Major League Baseball board from last night. Hour number one, we recap the NBA Finals for the full hour. The Milwaukee Bucks winning that NBA championship. Giannis, the unanimous Finals MVP with 50 points in a closeout. A phenomenal series there. But transitioning over to Major League Baseball, we had a good one in the Bronx last night. Certainly good if you back the over, if you back the Yankees here. And all of a sudden, the bottom of this lineup, a little bit of juice, a little bit of change of scenery, Donnie, here. I know the Phils weren't able to get the job done. I know you hate to see it. But the Yankees, this is why I want this team to be buyers. They just need, things need to be different. You can't just keep sending out the same guys that can't get the job done here. And the Yanks get another big result here and take the opening of this first two-game set with the Phils.
Yeah, game also went over as well. Needed some late scoring. It looks like some even scoring all the way through. No scoring in the first inning. They scored in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth, sort of cobbling together those 10 runs on an Andrew McCutchen home run in the ninth inning, which was meaningless to some watching the game, just rooting on the Yankees or the Phillies, but obviously very meaningful to the people that were betting the over in that game. Let's take a look at where this game was won and lost. With the Philadelphia Phillies, which is my hometown team, we know that when you get an Aaron Nola start, when you get a Zach Wheeler start, you take the Phillies' first five. You don't want to trust the bullpen here. But the fact that Aaron Nola is pitching extremely well, Kevin, here, and in the bottom of the fifth inning, if you took the Phillies' first five, Didi Gregorius, maybe hometown hero for the New York Yankees, made a catch on a line drive, easy double play ball, flip it over to third base, throws it away, off and running, which turns into a deficit for the Phillies after five innings, and the Yankees pull away from him at that point. Typical Phillies fashion. Nice win, though, for the New York Yankees.
The underlying story here, which, again, if you're an overbacker, an excellent sight to watch Aroldis Chapman give up another home run. If you're just a through-and-through Yankee fan, though, or a Yankee futures ticket holder, perhaps, Aroldis still not being able to get a clean inning, not exactly what you are looking for. We're coming back. We'll talk a little golf and NFL news.
Lost.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thing moving here on the early line. We switch it on over to the world of golf on the heels of a major championship. Colin Morikawa taking it down at the Open Championship. The 3M this week should be quite interesting. An interesting board, no doubt. We'll start things off with a course preview from our guy Dubs Anderson. In a couple minutes, maybe. Not just yet. We'll get Dubs here in a moment. Let me know when my guy Dubs is ready. We'll start things off then just by acknowledging this board. Dustin Johnson plus 750. Louis Oosthuizen checking in at 15-1. Tony Finau 16-1. A lot of good options there on the board, Donnie.
I mean, if you wanted me to step in here and do the course preview, you could have just threw it right over to the side in the right side household, and I would have handled that business right away. But you are correct here. When you're taking a look here at these championship golf tournaments, at least coming off the championship golf tournaments like the British Open, it's interesting to see some of these guys play. A lot of these are tied into sponsorships here, but it's good to see Dustin Johnson, Louis Oosthuizen even as well. These aren't the champions taking that victory lap here, but coming back and still wanting more. Tony Finau, Patrick Reed, Matthew Wolff, Bubba Watson. Some pretty good guys in this field overall, Kevin.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting board. Finau always stands out when he is that high because he just has that difficulty trying to close things out typically at these tournaments. And you know, it's now becoming a little bit of a theme, I feel like, here as well, Donnie, when we're looking at these boards. Dustin Johnson, plus 750, half of the next closest golfer. This is becoming, we saw this with John Rahm at the Open Championship. We saw it with Bryson DeChambeau at the Rocket Mortgage here. And, it, you know, it does feel like DJ's due for a win, but it's going to continue, I think, to be true. You're just not, it's not worth betting these guys at this price. If they're going to go wire to wire, then good for them. You're better off taking those chances, catching these guys at their live odds.
No, you're exactly correct, because when you take a look overall last week, I mean, the FanDuel Odds Boost, they gave us some pretty good numbers here. We were able to pick up the victory on making the cut with our three guys, but to win the championship, we got two out of three in the final pairing, basically, and weren't able to take that down. The one question I do have is, you know, when you take a look at the golfers overall, is there a letdown here? Because obviously Dustin Johnson, Louis Oosthuizen were in the mix at the Open. Now, is there going to be a letdown? Is this one where you have to come from behind, basically, and take a like a really good dog price, maybe somebody who's rested and ready for it? Should be an interesting 3M championship this week.
Let's give it another spin here at the 3M. Dubs Anderson, a course preview. Let's hear what he has to say.
We got the 3M Open teeing off this Thursday on the PGA Tour over at TPC Twin Cities, Minnesota. It's only the third running of this event. Past winners include Michael Thompson and Matt Wolff. What have we seen here in the past? Super low scoring, and I expect more of the same this week. You've got to be able to run those tables and get it to a low number. Winning mark's probably going to be 19, 20 under par. The field's quite decent, given we're coming off a major. Seven of your top 40 in the world are teeing it up, headlined by Mr. Dustin Johnson himself. But I'm not crazy on the big guys this week. They're going to be a little lethargic coming off a major, traveling back out to the US. So I think it's a good opportunity for a value play. How do we get to that value play? Key stats I'm looking at: accuracy off the tee, strokes gained approach, and putting. Those three are critical if you want to contend come Sunday. The golf course itself, it's a longer par 71, brings a lot of water into play, a lot of visually intimidating golf shots. So you need someone in control of their golf game. Guys you've seen on these leaderboards last 3-4 weeks, that tells me their ball striking's in a good spot, and they could be the value play of the week. The 3M Open, another fantastic event on the PGA Tour. Let's go and have ourselves a week.
The scores are going to be low. I enjoy that kind of golf there, guys, putting up big numbers, big performances. We talked about Tony Finau, 16-1 on this board, the third choice right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Dubs Anderson also going to give us a preview on Tony Finau.
We got the 3M Open teeing off this Thursday on the PGA Tour over at TPC Twin Cities. So who do we want to make a bit of a run this week? I'm looking at the big hitting phenom himself, Mr. Tony Finau at 16-1. He was in a bit of a mini form slump, but last weekend of the Open, T15, he's back, ladies and gentlemen. And he's back at a golf course that he absolutely loves. T3 here last year, top 25 in 2019. Statistically, on a long golf course, it suits Tony. He's got the great driving, good on approach, and his short game's gotten a lot better as well. We know the scores are going to be super low. Well, Tony knows how to run those tables. He ranks in the top 10 on the tour with eagles made, top 35 with birdies made. I think this is the week for Tony to sneak under the radar, have the stars align, get that second win at 16-1. Tony Finau is one of my plays for the 3M Open.
You love to hear that from Dubs. I'll tell you this, though, Donnie. If I'm going to get involved with Tony Finau, there are going to be top 20 bets, top 10 bets, and top 5 bets that are going to also need to be made, just in case he still struggles to close the thing out.
No, you're right. We're always one of the guys. We talked about it last week, rooting for him. He always seems to be in the hunt, but you're right, not able to close it out. Still rooting for him as well, not only to win PGA Tour events, but maybe get one of those majors over the next couple years. Long golf course, you know, big hitters always going to be in demand. That's why you take a look at Dustin Johnson at plus 750 here to win this tournament. If the scores are going to go low, you want the guys, Kevin, that can reach those par fives and two, that have good putters. It's going to be hard to take Dustin Johnson down, but every week we come into it, we see these big-time favorites, Kevin, not able to cash in, and maybe it's best to play these in-game, so to speak, on the FanDuel Sportsbook to say maybe Dustin Johnson doesn't play so well on day one, where instead of being a plus 750, he turns into a plus 2400. Then you see if he can get hot over the weekend. It almost happened with John Rahm, who was, you know, the plus five in the first round, about midway through his round. Didn't even look like he was going to make the cut, and then you saw how well he played over the next three rounds. So money to be made whether you play the tournament pre-tournament or also in-game game here at the FanDuel Sportsbook as well.
Let's transition over to the NFL. Some interesting news yesterday. One piece of news that was really unfortunate to hear, which was Rams running back Cam Akers suffered a torn Achilles while training. This coming from Tom Pelissero yesterday. And Cam Akers was excellent to close out the year for the Rams. Big expectations for him coming into the season, Donnie. The Rams are a team right now that they are expected to make the postseason, potentially contend for that NFC West there. Losing Cam Akers is not the kind of news that they were looking for in L.A.
No, certainly not. There's plenty of time to make some adjustments here, but you saw Cam Akers come into his own, Kevin, late in the regular season last year and also well into the playoffs. And also, this is a great little teaser to one of the take-it-or-leave-it topics that you have that's going to include Matthew Stafford, maybe more leaning on Stafford's arm now because you don't have that explosive running back. But the Rams are a very good organization. You know, Les needs a great GM. They'll be able to cover up, but they did say yesterday, Sean McVay and the crew, they're going to try to give it to their young running back still, not go out right away and make that move to get a veteran running back in here, because you still have Darrell Henderson, who's a very good running back. Boy, what a nice 1-2 punch that would have been, but Achilles injury, that's going to knock him out for all this year, and you're talking about a guy built on speed and cutting ability, Kevin. One of the worst injuries outside of an ACL, you guessed it, an Achilles heel injury. That's a devastating loss for the Rams, so you take away a little bit more of their explosive ability and some of that ground game, but still a formidable football team all the way around. They'll make some moves here. They'll replace him. Maybe not get an as explosive player and a cheap player like a rookie or a second-year guy would be on his contract, but they'll make some moves here for the Rams, but devastating nonetheless.
It does look like Darrell Henderson is going to have a good shot there to become the lead back. Reports out that they are confident in their running back room, but just for perspective here, Cam Akers in their two postseason games, 28 carries, 131 yards and a touchdown against the Seahawks, and then 18 carries for 90 yards and a touchdown against the Green Bay Packers. Phenomenal for this team, and a lot of expectations that Cam Akers was just going to have a monster season for them. We also got an interesting update around Aaron Rodgers, that over the offseason he was offered a 2-year contract extension from the Green Bay Packers. Donnie, he declined it. It would have been the highest paid player in the NFL. What do you make of that news around Rodgers?
Yeah, I think he's declining. It's just a grandstand right now. I still think that offer is going to be on the table. He's still going to be their week one quarterback. They'll make, you know, a little kumbaya. Everybody meets up, have a couple cocktails together, play around the golf. And with Aaron Rodgers saying, once again, Kevin, I don't know where these reports are coming from. I always wanted to be a Green Bay Packer. I know it looks dim right now, but just wait till week one. Aaron Rodgers is going to be taking snaps right under center in Green Bay.
I still have my doubts, and there's an interesting bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook that relates to that. We'll talk about it and take it or leave it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. It is time for Take It or Leave It. Talking about the NFL a little bit in our last segment. We'll carry that over here to some interesting options on the board for Take It or Leave It Aaron Rodgers, week one status up in the air to some. Donnie has a connection to Rodgers, and he's positive that not only will he be back, but Rodgers will then pretend this whole thing was absolutely made up. That part I do believe if it does play out that way. However, if Rodgers is going to miss time, it certainly should impact some of the performances of the guys around him, or maybe not. Maybe create some value here. Devontae Adams to lead the NFL in receiving yards is 13-1. Some new markets available on the FanDuel Sportsbook here, Donnie. Take it or leave it on Devontae Adams to lead the NFL in receiving yards.
I mean, Kevin, to start off here with Aaron Rodgers getting the inside line here, I think you are correct. I mean, there's two guys in his life. One is Miles Teller, one is Donnie Wrightside. Now I got the inside line on this one. And Devontae Adams at 13-1. If Aaron Rodgers lines up under center like I think he will in week one, this number is extremely low. It has to be hedged into the market here. Because when we take a look, DeAndre Hopkins at plus 750, Stephon Diggs at plus 800, Devontae Adams is going to get a massive target share on a very good football team. Who's to say, as long as he doesn't stay healthy, he won't be the overall leader? I think that is a wonderful price here. So if I'm going to take that, you know who else I'm taking at the same exact price? Michael Thomas down in New Orleans. You now have a... Well, wait a second, Donnie. Drew Brees retired. He doesn't have a quarterback. No. I'm not going to hear that nonsense here. You're still in a Sean Payton offense. Michael Thomas should be completely healthy for next season. No high ankle sprains. And now you have a quarterback in Jameis Winston who we've seen throw for 5,000-plus yards and can extend the field, which means you don't have to sit on Michael Thomas in the first 10 to 15 yards because Drew Brees can't throw it any further than that. Now you're looking at some real odds here. There's two guys at 13-1, but I completely agree. If we already had clarity, Kevin, here, on Aaron Rodgers definitely playing week one for the Green Bay Packers, there's no way that price is 13-1. It would be much shorter.
It definitely would. Because some people might say, oh, but he didn't lead the NFL in receiving yards last year. He did not. He missed two games. He did lead the NFL in yards per game at about 98 or so. But that's why it is a leave it for me. Look, if they're going to really cut the odds that in half because Rodgers is confirmed back in, I'll live with, like, then so be it. I need Miles Teller to also call me. I've got it from Donnie. If Miles Teller calls me and tells me Rodgers is back, then we'll start making some moves here. I have my doubts. I think Donnie makes a tremendous call on Michael Thomas, who ran away with this market just two seasons ago, and Jameis Winston can still sling that thing, no doubt about it. I think Calvin Ridley's another interesting option, Donnie. That might be a name that surprises people. At 10-1 is the third choice on the board. He finished fifth in receiving yards last year, and that was with Julio on the team. I get it, Kyle Pitts is in, but Julio is out. Calvin Ridley at 10-1 for a Falcons team that I still think will have their defensive struggles is a number that makes a lot of sense to me.
No, it certainly does. It's a good point out by you, too, because when you're trying to take a look at wide receivers, it's not so much they play on the best teams. You also want to take some shots on teams that don't play so good a defense and might be not be that great. Matt Ryan is still going to be throwing the football all throughout the game. We know the Atlanta defense, you're hoping to get better with a regime change. But when you take a look, yes, Julio Jones is going to be out. Kyle Pitts actually helps that offense move because you still want to take some of the focus off your top wide receivers like Calvin Ridley. If he stays healthy and they're an average football team, Kevin, that means you're playing all the way through the fourth quarter. Sometimes you look at the Green Bay Packers and say, well, yeah, Devontae Adams is great. Aaron Rodgers is sensational. But how many times are they going to be have the lead up 14 points with 4 minutes to go, no longer needing to throw when you look at those situations on wide receivers with bad football teams? Put it this way, Kevin. You know, I played Division III football, which is not at an extremely high level. We weren't a great football team, but I was a wide receiver. You know what I could count on each and every time? Us being down in the fourth quarter. It was like heaven. All we did was throw the ball. And that's the way you got to look at some of these wide receiver props.
No doubt about it. I think it's going to be a fun market for us to follow here. One more NFL option on Take It or Leave It. We talked about the Cam Akers unfortunate injury news. A torn Achilles will cost him all of this upcoming season, which certainly could be changing the plans on how the LA Rams want to attack defenses. Certainly a change at quarterback, though, is going to play a factor as well with Stafford in and Goff out. FanDuel Sportsbook has odds for total passing yard props for different quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford's number, Donnie, 46, 50 and a half, minus 112 to the over. Take it or leave it for Matthew Stafford to get over that number.
Initial number and initial look today, I'm going to take it. Because, yeah, I'm still a fan of Matthew Stafford. He's going to play with one of the offensive geniuses in the NFL in Sean McVay, coming from the Detroit Lions. But let's also keep remembering, he threw for 4,000 yards last year, 26 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, a lot of injuries at his wide receiver spot. But the last time, Kevin, that he threw for 4,650 yards or more was 2013. Now, he does have some, you know, 2012, 4,900 yards, and then also in 2011, 5,000 yards. So the pedigree is there at this point. But let's also keep in mind, both myself and Kevin talking over the break here, you're getting an extra game. It's the same thing we talked about yesterday with Saquon Barkley. Do I think he's going to run for 1,000 yards? I still do, even in a 16-game schedule. But keep in mind, people, you're going to have the extra game now, and that is going to be key. So if you spread it over 17 games, Matthew Stafford's going to have to throw for just over 270 yards per game. He should be able to do that. It is a much more passing lead even than it was back in 2011, 2012, 2013, when Matthew Stafford was still a young gunslinger. A lot of guys are going to be wide open for him. And yes, Cam Akers goes down, so maybe you lean a little bit more on the passing game. There's no reason to believe, Kevin, for me, he can't average right around 270 yards a game in today's NFL. I'm going to take this as a take it here, even though it's a little bit fanboy of it, because we like to take overs, and it still is a tough number to get to. Maybe they clinch a playoff round. He sits out for one of those weeks. Maybe he gets injured. We don't know all that, but just looking at it right now, he should have the offensive game plan and offensive genius of Sean McVay helping him towards that goal.
For me, the one reason I would consider a leave it would be health. Because other than that, it is certainly a take it. Matthew Stafford, Donnie mentioned, you know, historically when he can get to that. Let me mention Jared Goff, who, while he did not get to it last season in 16 games the year before, 46-38, and the year before that, 46-88. And again, you slap that extra game on now, Matthew Stafford absolutely will have the opportunity to get over that number. And I'm just going to make this point on Stafford's health because it's talked about a lot. And this is where I think sometimes people struggle to make the distinction between banged up and available. Matthew Stafford, since 2011, has played 16 games every single year but one. I get it, he gets banged up. But he actually has been available far more than people have been giving him credit. If Matthew Stafford plays 17 games, I would be shocked if he was not able to get to over that number. It is a take it for me as well. How about a FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost tonight? A couple of soccer guys going to help you out here right now as they have an interesting option with the MLS, both NYCFC and the New York Red Bulls to win in the 90 minutes plus stoppage time, was plus 335. Now is 4-1. Donnie, take it or leave it.
I'm going to take this one, and obviously because now as we're winding down the NBA, our 3x2 odds boost did not win last night. So I'm feeling, I say, you know what? I got to jump back into something and start off my second half of Major League Baseball and also the second half of the summer right here. Why not jump into a little New York parlay here? Because when you're taking a look at numbers here, Kevin, they could have given us 120, 150, 175. No, boosted from plus 335, now up to plus 400 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. It sounds like something exactly I want to play myself into as we get ready for Major League Baseball tonight. I like this parlay. Now, do you have a complete, us being a couple soccer guys, do we have a breakdown here? What are we looking at? Is this to our advantage, Kevin? I'm leaning on you as the true soccer guy this morning.
Look, again, a couple high-level soccer guys here. We're not going to just leave you hanging. Sure. We're not just going to say, you know, take it or leave it past the buck here. This is a big game. Okay, we've been capping these games for the last 2 weeks. We've seen these matchups. We've had them circled on the calendar. NYCFC enters into this game a minus 260 favorite on the triple money line. So you like to see that. The New York Red Bulls, however, plus 210 on their triple money line, playing a Toronto FC squad that is plus 105. So you can see that we are dealing with a little bit of an underdog situation as it pertains to the New York Red Bulls. How willing are we to trust the New York Red Bulls up against Toronto FC? And look, I have no doubt about it, on Game Time Decisions, they will be breaking this game down extensively. The Red Bulls right now in some decent form. They've only lost once in their last five matches. Toronto FC lost three times in their last five matches here. It's a big old payday. New York, New York, why not? Sign us on up here. Let's take it on an MLS odds boost. One more for us to bring the NBA back into the fold on Take It or Leave It. Odds to win next year's NBA championship available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. A team at 30-1 or longer to win the NBA championship next year, Donnie? Take it or leave it.
I'm leaving it all day long. The NBA, this is a, you know, an arms race, and it's a heavily favored race up top because you're taking a look at the teams that are 30 to 1 or below on the FanDuel Sportsbook here. Dallas Mavericks, Atlanta Hawks, Miami Heat, Boston Celtics, Portland Trailblazers. Does that sound like championship-level basketball here that you just want to take a piece of? Sure, we all like the lottery tickets, and maybe there's some hedging opportunities if you do take some of those teams. But as I'm talking about hedging opportunities, that probably means I don't think these teams can actually win the NBA championship next year. Absolutely not. It is a front-runners league. I'm taking the teams that are anywhere between, obviously not 2-1, but in that price range of 7 to 14-1. That makes much more sense to me to take a longer price.
You're not going to empty that bankroll in that plus 195, Donnie? I can't imagine such a scene.
All tapped out. I'll be all tapped out for a year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very difficult. If I had to take one of these teams, though, Miami at 35-1 catches my eye. After that shortened season impacting them, certainly we saw Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo as a 1-2 punch, and they will be aggressive, no doubt about it, during this offseason. 35-1 is an interesting price. We break down the baseball board next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here in the early line. Time to break into today's Major League Baseball board. A lot of good stuff here. Enjoying the second half of the Major League Baseball season. Some good results for us yesterday on the board. I know the White Sox helped out Donnie. The late inning home runs in Yanks-Phils helped me out there on the over of that game. So a lot of good stuff here in Major League Baseball. The board begins early, 12:36 on the East Coast. It'll be Mets-Reds. 10.5 is the total. The incredibly high-scoring series opener, 15-11, was the final. They came back yesterday. Pete Alonso hit another first-inning home run. You're like, oh, boy, here we go again. Things then did start to slow down a little bit. But another double-digit total here, Donnie, between the Mets and the Reds.
Yeah, as it should be. Yesterday, also, we're looking for extra innings in that Mets-Reds game and also almost got it there, but a hang-on performance by the Reds. Hoffman will take the mound for the Reds today. Not a very good pitcher here, Kevin, and you know the numbers I like to look at, as opposed to ERA, some of the more analytical numbers, the ones that will tell you about maybe what's going to happen next. XFIP number 5.74, which is extremely high. That means he's not striking a ton of guys out, walking guys, and giving up some contact here. If we take a look from the left-hand side today, anticipated lineup for the New York Mets, Nimmo, McNeil, Smith, Conforto, VR. That's a decent little trio that we have to take a look at. 347 to lefties if we take a look at Hoffman, the right-handed pitcher, but also, Kevin, equal opportunity to get base hits off him. What does that mean? Both lefties and righties here, a little bit elevated. When we take a look at weighted on-base percentages here, keep in mind, once again, 320 to 325 is the Major League Baseball average. Anything higher than that is above average. Anything below that is below average. So we've got 347 and 334. Now, for the Mets, you have one of your aces on the mound today, Marcus Stroman, 3.79 as an XFIP number. He's been wonderful, Kevin, both between lefties and righties that he faces. Keep in mind, Marcus Stroman is a right-handed pitcher, striking at roughly 20% of the batters that he faces. Doesn't give very many free passes, only at 6%. But let's take a look at the breakdown here. For the 2021 season, Kevin, he's faced 194 left-handed batters. As we just talked about, that weighted on-base average right around 320 is average. Take a look at this, Kevin. To lefties, a 252. To righties, a 300. So overperforming in both of those categories. And those ISO power numbers that we like to look at when we take a look at Dinger Tuesdays here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, you want that number to be right around average, 0.165 to 0.170. Take a look at Stroman's numbers to lefties and righties, Kevin, 0.080 and a 0.108. So if Stroman can give you an honest effort on the mound, the Mets should be in this ballgame. But let's also take a look from a Reds perspective here, Kevin. A very good lineup here versus right-handed pitching. Just take a look at those ISO power numbers we just talked about, which Stroman keeps low. Winker's at a 310, Votto's at a 243. as Keno is at a 455, Naquin 227, and Suarez at 217. They got a lot of really good bats. So this is going to come down to, can Stroman quiet down those Cincinnati Reds bats? I think he can today, Kevin.
It's going to be a fun one to follow. I have to bring up the home run market here. Pete Alonso, in the opening game of this series, was plus 180. On In Play Sports Tonight, Don, you're like, oh my goodness, plus 180. I don't remember seeing a number that low. Boom, home run while we're talking about it. The next game, Pete does it again. Donnie and I, oh boy, we didn't even think about Pete on a Dinger Tuesday. What are we thinking? Donnie, plus 160 on Pete Alonso to hit a home run? Plus 160? I don't really remember anybody before this series being sub $2. I mean, the guy might as well be a pick'em to hit one out of the park for what would be the third straight game.
I mean, coming off of that performance in Home Run Derby out in Colorado, like, you want long shots. Like, last night I picked a, you know, long shot, plus 310, plus 320 on CJ Cron. I'm like, okay, I'll live with that. He ends up hitting a home run, which is great. But it's almost like the payoff is just like hitting an average bet here, and the guy has to hit a home run, which is amazing when you think about it. And Kevin and I both do a radio show at night. I have the monitors on, but I see the first inning, and I see a home run leaving the ballpark. And I'm like, Kevin, wait a second here. You know why? Because I thought it was an instant replay, but it wasn't. He went yard again. Mm-hmm. So who's to say that a hot batter at the plate coming off an amazing home run derby in a small ballpark that's going to have some elevated temperatures, why not go yard? It's not Luis Castillo on the mound. It's Hoffman. He should be able to do it again. But my goodness, like, take a look at the Brooklyn Nets and that under $2 price to win an NBA championship. Like, that's so easy to do. I need more to take it. And even though we'll be watching tonight on the radio going, hey, look, Kevin, first inning, yep, Pete did it again.
I love the idea. Someone should go out there, bet Pete to hit a home run and roll that money right over into that Nets NBA Finals price at plus 195.
That's solid.
They'd keep counting your dollars. Let's talk a little Blue Jays Red Sox here. I want to start with the man that is on the mound tonight for the Toronto Blue Jays, and that's Robbie Ray. Over the weekend, Donnie and I had someone reach out to us on Twitter about the Cy Young mark, which we talk about all the time here, Garrett Cole, minus 125, about Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray at the time, over the weekend, I believe it was Saturday evening, was at 80-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And something we've talked about a lot here on this show is, at times, the markets can stagnate a little bit. You hit them up and boom, 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 and all of a sudden things move. And Robbie Ray, if you look at his numbers, is having a phenomenal season. Just a wonderful, wonderful year. And some of the names that were set in front of him, it just did not add up. Well, next thing you know, that number is now 35-1. And I have to say, Donnie, I'm not sure if Robbie Ray is going to win the Cy Young, but I would still even tell people that 35-1 might be a little bit long on Robbie Ray, who's been a legitimate ace caliber pitcher for this Toronto team.
Yeah, it's the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. argument also, because you want to win the MVP. There's another guy doing it maybe better than you out there, Shohei Ohtani, home run-wise, and also being a very good Major League Baseball pitcher. But you want to see the run to the playoffs, which can be bolstered because we still have, you know, a couple weeks left here in July. Then you have all of August and September. If the Toronto Blue Jays make a run to the playoffs, two things are going to happen. Obviously, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. probably hitting more home runs, but also your front-end pitchers like Robbie Ray are going to be the difference here, maybe going on a run, winning five or six straight starts, keeping that ERA down, and then you get some looks in that Cy Young market because they say, now, wait a second here. Cy Young, just like the MVP, Cy Young's going to go to a guy, typically the best pitcher on his staff, on a team that's careening towards the playoffs, which you hope Toronto would do. But take a look at this game overall. Robbie Ray, 3.28 xFIP, which is impressive in itself. Robbie Ray used to deal with a little bit of command issues, Kevin, only giving away 6% of the players that he faces free passes in the way of walks. And as I said, striking out close to 33% of the batters he's faced. Take a look at lefties who are designed to get lefties out. That's what they do in Major League Baseball. Robbie Ray has a weighted on-base average to left-handed hitters, Kevin, at a 196 and an ISO power number of 0.114. That is astounding. ISO power number is a little bit elevated towards right-handed batters through 318 that he's faced this season, but keeping that weighted on-base average right around a 300, he's doing some damage. Now, the interesting part about tonight is going to be a lot of right-handed batters are going to go up against Robbie Ray, and the Boston Red Sox do well against right-handed pitching. Take a look at this lineup here with some weighted on-base average. averages. Kike Hernandez out of the leadoff role, 334, slightly above average. Then you have Xander Bogaerts, 409. JD Martinez, 362. Hunter Renfro, 398. Dalback, 334. Some really good guys in that lineup. Don't have official confirmation who the pitcher is going to be on the Boston end of it, but I got to say, if it's still going to be Garrett Richards, which it looks like it might not be, you're going to look for some runs here in that small ballpark going up against him, Kevin.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's going to be a fun game to follow, I think, for sure. I just want to quickly mention something on the Rangers and Tigers game here. The Texas Rangers have played five games. Two of them were doubleheaders, so seven innings. But still, in five games since the All-Star break, Donnie, they're being outscored 43-3. 43-3. Like yesterday, we were on the show last night. We're like, man, maybe a Rangers team total. Screwball's not been good. Like, Matt Manning's on the mound tonight for the Tigers. An ERA that's about a touch of seven. I don't even know what to say with this team here. Sell everybody now and get this, like, 43-3 in five games? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and some of those games coming against the Detroit Tigers, not as if you're going up against, you know, a Dodgers West Coast swing with the Giants, Padres, and also, again, the Los Angeles Dodgers. But Manning is on the mound. He is poor. 6.41 xFIP overall, and he's faced about, what, 80 batters on the season. But here's the issue at hand. The one good thing typically with a Major League Baseball team is the ability to have switch hitters and left-handers in the lineup so you can counter against those right-handed pitchers. Here's the issue. Manning is a righty, and he gets blown away, Kevin, by right-handed bats. Take a look at this. On the season, he's faced 37 right-handed batters, a .448 weighted on-base percentage against him, and a .265 ISO power number. But here's the most devastating number of all to a Major League pitcher. You know, we talked a lot about it, the strikeout props that we all enjoy, and maybe before the Major League Baseball crackdown and he can't doctor up the Major League Baseballs. He only striking out, Kevin, 7% of the batters he's faced, which is disaster in Major League Baseball because that ball is getting into play. That's why his xFIP number is so high. But here's the caveat when you look at the Texas Rangers. Yes, they look like a dead team in the water, but they have so many lefties in this lineup, which is typically good. Take a look at the roster tonight that we're looking at. You know, Holt, Lowe, Gallo, Heim, Dahl, and Martin, all lefties supposed to be in the lineup. You actually would want it the opposite way. Maybe give me six or seven right-handed bats going up against Manning, because from a left-handed perspective, due to Manning being a right-handed pitcher, he's got a .314 weighted on base average and an ISO power number, .162. He's right on that average in Major League Baseball when right-handed hitters actually doing so much more damage, Kevin. We'll see if Texas can actually wake up. He's not a good pitcher, but who says they're going to wake up at all right now?
There's a couple other really good spots here on the board. The Rangers, just I'm good. I can't do this right now. They'll have to do something, and then we'll
buy low. You don't want to buy low on them right now,
Donnie. I don't think I'd take it for free. I don't think. Hey, here's a free ticket on the Rangers team total over. Right now. I'm not watching this. There's no way am I watching this play out here.
Will they score any runs plus 100 as an option?
Yeah. Pass. Pass. I'm good. Let's look elsewhere on the board.
Give me the no. Why don't they give us the no on this one, Kevin? Yeah.
No. You know, we'll see that tonight. Watch. You'll see the Rangers Tigers odds boost flying left and right. I believe it. Phil's Yanks, Donnie. Matt Moore is possibly going to be on the mound here tonight. We don't have odds for this game just yet, but the projected pitcher for the Yanks, and I know somebody you mentioned you might want to be targeting.
Yeah, it's Wojciechowski, who's come from that long line of Baltimore scorned pitchers that seemingly come up as young pitchers playing that hitter's ballpark, and you don't get much around you. He hasn't been very good in the major leagues and also in AAA, so that might give an advantage here to the Philadelphia Phillies overall. But when we're looking at the Philadelphia Phillies, the same way we talked about it yesterday, I don't know how many runs they can score late. So if you're going up against a younger pitcher, not a pedigree in a hitter's ballpark, you better tack on these runs in the first five innings, because typically the Yankees do have a much better bullpen. But also, taking a look from a Phillies, you know, perspective here, I'm seeing Sanchez as a possible starter, who's a young kid, only about 19 batters he's faced in Major League Baseball this year. Or if they go to Matt Moore, the one thing I do know is you're looking maybe for a first five-inning total. That's probably where the runs are coming from. But also keep in mind, the Yankees should be able to tack on against the Phillies bullpen, even if it is Matt Moore. How long is he going, Kevin? Five innings? If it's this young kid Sanchez, how long is he going? Three or four innings, a full bullpen game for the Philadelphia Phillies? That doesn't sound like a winning equation. This will be one that we watch throughout the day, but when you take a look at team totals on both sides, this one certainly has piqued my interest.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one to follow here. Don, is anything else catch your eye on tonight's board? One thing I see here, Eli Morgan going to take the trip to face that Astros lineup. Anything you're seeing?
Yeah, it's funny. You bring up the one game that I do like as well, because I had a couple circled here earlier that I like to do to try to formulate my card. The Philadelphia Phillies team total, I think, is live. Houston, and also, Kevin, maybe going back to the Windy City tonight for another shot at those Chicago White Sox. Keep those bats hot. See if they can knock some balls out of the yard again.
Yeah, the White Sox are a team you'll absolutely fall in love with when you're betting team totals. Another Dodgers-Giants game should be good to follow. Urias versus Webb. Also, when lines become available, the Rays, I know a little dicey to bring that team up here alongside my guy Donnie, but the Rays-Orioles game, game might have a little bit of juice to it. We'll certainly be continuing to follow that board. Ariel joins Donnie next to let you know what's coming up in the morning after.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day on the early line for Wednesday, putting a bow on the NBA season with the Milwaukee Bucks taking down yet another championship. Well, maybe not. They're second in the last 50 years, but an interesting performance. 50 years since a title, 50 points out of Giannis. We're going to turn it over to the morning after crew, Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens here. Ariel, welcome into the show. The NBA Finals, we have a conclusion.
We have a champion. It's over. Now we get a relatively decent offseason in the NBA. The players hopefully will be all well rested by the end of it. I'm really excited for the Milwaukee Bucks. This was a team that Giannis Antetokounmpo has been leading the way for, and his biggest knock has been that although he's been MVP, he cannot get the job done. I just love being able to see these athletes finally get that ring and be able to say, hey, I am a champion. No knock on my reputation now.
Yep, did it his way in his city. There was no need to go to a bigger market like L.A., Miami, Philadelphia. Wonderful stuff. That crowd certainly appreciative last night, both in the building and outside the building. And we always flip it over, Ariel, to the offseason in the NBA, which is sometimes more entertaining than the regular season or the NBA Finals itself. And it started right away saying, hey, Chris Paul, you're going to opt back in? You're going to look to go to maybe the New York Knicks or chase a ring in another city? So it never ends in that aspect. But coming up here on the morning after 9 to 12, or do we have, I'm pretty sure we have some guests line up to talk about the NBA, and as I said, put that bow on the season and how exciting it was with the Milwaukee championship.
We will continue to discuss what happened from the gambling perspective last night in the NBA. We'll give you some sound bites from the players. I'm also excited because for the first time, we're going to be joined by a former basketball player himself, Tim Doyle. He's going to give us the breakdown for what he saw on the floor last night, in addition to what we could look forward to coming up in the offseason. Who's going to be the biggest names that get moved? Is Damian Lillard going to be moved? Then we also have to transition into the NFL. And of course, we'll touch on that in college football and the Major League Baseball card later tonight.
Nah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I know you guys should be tuning into the morning after right here on the Sports Grid Network. Three action-packed hours with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. That'll do it today for the early line on a Wednesday edition, putting a bow in the NBA season. I'm Donnie Wrightside for Kevin Walsh. We'll see you tomorrow.
When you're a winner, you get good at spotting advantages.
Like us.
Sports gaming strategies and expert information. The winning.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.